This morning's gospel lesson comes from, as I said, the Gospel of John. But also, I want to read a short passage from the book of Acts that supports what we're saying again this morning. It's found on page 1710. It's chapter 10 of the book of Acts, starting in verse 44. You'll listen to the Word of God. And one of the things I love about our faith tradition is that we have the prayer of illumination. And some of y'all may sometimes wonder, well, why? What is the prayer of illumination? What is that? What is that about? Well, it is the light, especially within the Gospel of John. He talks about light a lot. But it's the light of Christ. It's the illumination of the Word of God, not only within me, but within us. And that's why I ask for us to say it together. It becomes important for us to be illumined, because you will hear the Word, and I will hear the Word, but sometimes it will be different for each of us. Yeah, I will say sometimes when I leave, when you leave the sanctuary, boy, that really spoke to me in this and this way. And I'll go, huh. I didn't think about that, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So let us say the prayer of illumination first before we hear the Word read and proclaimed. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, in the reading of your Word, that we would hear what you have to say to us today. May your Holy Spirit be poured out upon us through Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is the Book of Acts passage, starting in on page 1710 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along, and then we'll move to the gospel reading found on page 1676 out of the Gospel of John. But let us listen to the Word of God. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Amen. So let us listen to the Word of God in the gospel reading this morning in chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. This is found on starting on page 1676 in your pew Bible. 1677. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do not do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the context of this is that this is near the end of Jesus' life. This passage comes from pulled out from between 14 and 17 in those chapters. Jesus' lengthy discourse starts in chapter 14 and will run through chapter 16. And in chapter 17, Jesus' prayer for his disciples. And then in chapter 18, his will be his arrest and his betrayal. So you kind of get to see where this is in the larger picture. And last week we heard in verses 1 through 8, and this week we're the second part of that discourse, 9 through 17. Those earlier verses introduce the idea of abiding in Jesus, remaining in me, remain in me. And the later verses continue this imagery about remaining in my love. And they also introduce the idea that everything begins with the Father. Everything begins with the Father. And this is reflected in the earlier portion with Jesus' statement, I am the true vine, I and my Father is the farmer. And it's repeated in the second statement, in the second section by Jesus, even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Could the Gentiles be, even the Gentiles, could they be our friends? We have Gentiles in our lives, right? Those on the outside, those we don't agree with, those we not quite sure about. Could they be our friends? Friends for whom we would lay down our lives? Friends we are to love like Jesus loves us? If the Holy Spirit pours over the Gentiles, does that not mean that God has chosen them too? If God abides in them and we abide in God, doesn't that mean that we can't escape being close to each other? Jesus reminds his friends that he chose them, not the other way around. And therefore, those whom God has chosen become part of our circle of concern in ways we could not have imagined. Think about that. Committee meetings, parties, worship, work, family dinners. Everything just got a little more complicated, didn't it? Yeah. When our gatherings include people of different cultures and languages and experiences, very little can be assumed. So I have a question for you this morning. Have y'all ever found yourself in a context where everything was unfamiliar? Everything was unfamiliar. The attentiveness and the energy required sometimes just exhausts and sometimes even overwhelms all who are involved, right? So our gospel lesson today is about relationships. And Jesus starts the chapter by saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that they are the branches. And so it's this three-way relationship, right? God the Father, the vine grower, Jesus the vine, and us the branches. And it's easy to visualize this three-way relationship because you can picture just in your mind this beautiful imagery of this vineyard of rows and rows of vines. And perhaps the sun shining on it and the breeze blowing over it, and you see the leaves move. Laden, just laden with delicious fruit. And Jesus also promises, if you remain or abide in me, and my words remain or abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. When I read those words, like I said, they made me think of the importance of relationships, the importance of connections. And then what came to mind seemed, well, like I said during the children's sermon, a little frivolous, but I think we enjoyed it. Where God takes the prophet Ezekiel into the valley where the bones of the Israelite soldiers are. And they're long dead. And they're dry. And they're dry as bones. And God had Ezekiel prophesy that God would breathe into these dry bones the breath of life and put flesh on them so that they would live again. God did that. Astounding. God breathed into these bones the breath of life, and those bones came together with a great clatter, and they stood on their feet, a great army. Toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone. Hear the word of the Lord. You see that connectiveness. Connectiveness. Those connections were important. For the body to work properly, the toe bone needs to be connected. It needs to be connected to the foot bone. And the foot bone needs to be connected to the ankle. And the ankle needs to be connected to the leg. And so forth and so on. All the way up to our noggin. Right? That bone story has as much to do with us as it does with the story to Israel. When we too rebel against God and do things that, well, break God's heart, when we do that, we usually suffer the consequences, but that bone story reminds us that God still loves us and always stands ready to breathe new life into our dry bones. Often, when visiting church members, or even when I was in the Durham VA Medical Center, it's a large regional hospital. I witnessed visitors that would struggle to navigate even the parking deck or the entrance, the hallways, the various waiting rooms. Which elevator leads to where they want to go? How do you operate the phone outside of the ICU? What button do I push? Could you give me directions to the cafeteria? This bewilderment layered over worry and sadness and stress and so much energy that is exerted to complete basic tasks. And equally as often is the person that's in the hospital bed that wonders how to work the nurse call button or the remote control for the television. Or I've even witnessed a tray of food that sat still, untouched, because it wasn't moved close enough to the person who needed to have it. Or the silverware wasn't unwrapped. Medical personnel came and went, and sometimes letting the patient know who they were, and then other times they didn't. Other times they barely acknowledged why they were there. Seeing the patient as a person requires extra effort. It requires energy, and it requires time. The word in this Acts text, the book of Acts text that I read this morning, it really lingers in my consciousness. The word is astounding, astounded, in chapter 10, verse 45. The circumcised believers, it reads, who came, had come with Peter, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. The circumcised believers were amazed that God might gift the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit, but the gift was undeniable. because the Gentiles were speaking in tongues and extolling God. It seems that Jesus chose them too. And the circumcised believers' friend group just got a whole lot bigger and more interesting and more complicated. Intentional effort, extra energy, and patience and goodwill will be required by Jews and Gentiles alike. For the one that speaks a different language, or the one fumbling to find their way out of the parking deck, or the one in the hospital gown, or the one in the lab coat, or the one who eats pork, and the one who doesn't, the one who shows up 2 hours late. Y'all know who they are. And the one who brings extra guests. And the one whose sensibilities about personal space are different than my own. The one whose politics and pronouncements make me cringe. And the one who doesn't know Amazing Grace or even the 23rd Psalm, the one I thought beyond redemption. God chooses to incorporate them all into the vine and therefore makes them my friend. Astounding. Astounding. Jesus says, without these friends, my joy is incomplete. If I don't have these friends and I'm not willing to die for them, then my joy cannot be complete. Life just got a little more complicated, didn't it? I must slow down and take notice. Stop and abide. And they must do the same. We can't just do what we've always done. We can't presume we all know what's required or expected or hoped for or needed. Once the Holy Spirit gifts us with one another, we're called upon to accept and nurture and cherish our new God-given friends. We must be good stewards of our holy friendship. And the only way to do so is to follow Jesus' commandment and love one another. So I have this friend, and she and I talk every once in a while. And sometimes we talk beyond our, you know, the perfunctory, how's the weather? How's your kids? How's work? Sometimes we do a deeper dive. And so, she's somebody that works hard. And she's also someone that works hard at connecting with people that she vehemently disagrees with. And so we were talking the other day about what it would take to repair our humanity. What would it take to act out of the opposite of hate? Questions and conversations that were, well, way beyond the weather, way beyond work and kids and family. She said, I found my answer in my Aunt Lucy. I said, well, I got to ask you about that one then. Okay, Aunt Lucy, all right. So she went on to explain a little bit about her Aunt Lucy. She said, her Aunt Lucy lives in the middle of the country. She said she also loves me and my partner and our daughter and welcomes us with open arms to every family occasion that we have. And there will be a few times where when we've cautiously talked about politics. And Aunt Lucy's been curious and kind. And she went on to say that that Aunt Lucy watches the news quite a bit. And she eventually dawned on me that the news that she chooses to watch are viewers that are like her. They're decent. They're curious. They're curious about the news and they intend to learn and do something good with that information. So my friend went on to say that she started to picture her Aunt Lucy when she would go on these various news channels. And it made it easier for her to think and to talk and act from a place of kindness instead of a place of hate. Not to essentialize the invisible people on the other side of the screens, but instead to imagine my Aunt Lucy, someone I love and I respect, she said. God gifts even the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. Astounding. Astounding. Now we are friends. Baptized members of the same family, we have been given the gift of one another with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Life just got a little more complicated. More interesting. Richer. Better. Harder. Our circle of concern just exploded. Our joy won't be complete without one another. Loving one another brings us closer to Jesus Christ, and following Jesus and abiding Him draws us closer to one another. And to accept and nurture and steward and cherish the gift of our friendship, we must slow down and take notice and remember not to take anything for granted. Don't assume to understand. The guidance is to gently ask questions. Ask them of one another. Be generous with our honest answers. Plan the meetings and the meals and the gatherings with care and intentionality, abounding in hospitality. It demonstrates the desire for all to be heard and fed and included. And look at each other face to face. And what do you see? Bewilderment? Fear? Pain, weariness, contentment, joy, happiness. Even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. When Jesus says, remain in my love, that's his way of saying, stay connected. It's his way of saying, keep the relationship going. Jesus tells us that he's connected to the Father, so when we're connected to Jesus, we're also connected to the Father. Toe bone's connected to the foot bone. Right? Right? When we hurt each other, and we will, we of course will, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. And when you struggle to imagine that God has chosen this particular person to be a part of this household of God, well, picture Aunt Lucy. Picture Aunt Lucy, someone you love and you respect, and act accordingly. So my grandmother used to say, don't live beyond your raisin, boy. Right? Act accordingly. Remind yourself that Jesus' commandments are not burdensome, but light. And we need to hear those last words, that your joy may be made full. Full. Jesus isn't being selfish when he tells us to stay connected to him. He's telling us to stay connected to him so that our joy may be made full. So that Jesus might fill us with joy. Jesus revealed all we need to know and promises to give us whatever we need. Unless we love one another, our joy can't be full. can't be complete. And when we do that, our joy can be astounding. Astounding. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.